Buildate on Mix 93.8.
This is Buildate on Mix, brought to you by AfriSam. My name is Graham Alexander. I'm going to be chatting to four guests about windows. But before we get there, Pieter Malherbe from Tiva is going to chat to us about some of the regulations that now control windows and make our spaces more comfortable. Pieter, welcome.
Thanks, Graham.
The regulation came out probably nearly 5 years ago. And everyone refers to it as XA, but we don't have to remember all the numbers.
The new regulations.
Relatively.
2011. Yeah, very new.
Relatively new, yeah. And they were put in place essentially to save energy, but also to make our lives a lot more comfortable and save money. Give us an overview of what these regulations do with regard to window frames.
All right. Graham, these regulations came into play, as you said, to help homeowners navigate the world of building a home and building it efficiently. So in the space of windows, which we're talking about, there's two parts. You've got the thermal efficiency or conductance, and you've got the solar heat gain. And just going back to the bare basics, the more glass you have, the better the insulation needs to be. And that's very simple. It's very straightforward. Anybody can rationally understand that. If you're building a big home with little tiny little bathroom windows throughout, you're not going to lose that much heat and cold coming in winter if the windows are very small. But when you have got big windows, big doors, lots of glass, that's where you're losing all the energy or gaining all the energy. And that goes back to, it goes on to the second part of it, which is the solar heat gain. So if we're touching on the insulation, it's very simple. If something conducts like a metal, it doesn't insulate so well. And that's when you need to put in double glazing, everything else to help that insulate better. The second part is the solar heat gain part. And it's the sun literally baking your house warmer. And it goes through the windows. And the better the insulation on the windows, the more comfortable your home will be in summer. And we tend to forget that all these energy efficiency regulations goes both ways. It goes to save energy and make your home comfortable both in winter and in summer.
Just to understand conductance, if one put a steel rod into a fire, you're eventually going to feel the heat. And some materials conduct better than others. And the ones that do conduct better are actually the ones that we don't need, because we want to insulate our buildings. And we're going to chat about the different products over the course of the show. But the glass is also conducting. So if you put your hand up against the glass, it's cold. So double glazing is something that prevents that from happening. And we're going to be chatting to Kevin from PG about double glazing later in the show and how it can be put into UPVC, timber, and aluminium. With solar heat gain, it's probably a question for Kevin, Pieter, because it's the sun coming in the window. And the frames that hold the glass, I suppose it doesn't matter whether it's UPVC or timber. So just tell us a little bit about what the regulation says.
Okay. From a regulatory point of view, and it's the same sort of thing. The higher the percentage of glass you've got compared to your square meterage, the actual house footprint, the better the insulation must be. And that's a common misconception back to the solar heat gain part. The solar heat gain is literally how much heat is gained through a material. And it's not just the glass, it's a framing material. We all know wood is fantastic. It doesn't absorb heat. UPVC is similar to wood. It's a very good insulator. Where aluminium and steel, on the other hand, it absorbs heat. And obviously that will heat up the house in summer. So it's a combination when clients are looking at everything. It's a combination of the glass and the product, whether it's thermally broken or not.
Pieter's from a company, Tiva, that manufactures UPVC windows. And after the break, I'm going to come back and chat to Pieter about that particular type of window.
Buildate on Mix 93.8.
My name's Graham Alexander. I'm chatting to some specialists this evening about window frames. Wooden window frames, aluminium, UPVC. And one of my guests is Pieter Malherbe from Tiva. Many years ago, Pieter, guys, when they rode British motorbikes, used to call anything from Japan plastic. They've proven them wrong now. Hondas and Suzukis and that do all sorts of things. Let's get something out of the way. UPVC has sometimes been wrongly viewed as a plastic window. It is a kind of plastic. It doesn't mean that it's bad quality.
Graham, thanks. Yes. It's a polymer, and in German they call it Kunststoff, and if you really can't speak German like me and you translate that, it's synthetic stuff, and it's an unplasticized form of PVC, and all it means, it's a window frame designed to insulate. Globally, it's taken over the market. South Africa, it's beautiful, it's starting to be adopted, and with anything as the regulations, it's new, it's been there since 2011. UPVC has been available in South Africa for 30-odd years. And everybody still thinks, oh, no, it's very new. So all the perceptions, all these sort of things are fantastic to talk about. And you're absolutely right. It is a synthetic product designed to insulate your home.
When it comes to manufacture and installation, as a homeowner, somewhere in the design phase, I'm going to chat to the architect about the type of windows we want to use and the make of windows. And with these energy efficiency regulations, the architects have to comply with certain regulations. Can the architect send the drawings through to you as TEVA for you not only to design the windows and price them, but also work out these energy calculations?
Absolutely. A lot of the fabricators have got those capabilities, not everybody. But from a design point of view, we work closely with the architects, and the whole window industry is going that way so that we can inform architects and help them make informed decisions about your home. So all these U values that they talk about, all the insulation values, it's just material and data. We help the architect, so we supply the architect with the stuff to help them design efficient buildings.
When it comes to installation, Peter, you've now given the architect and the homeowner or possibly the building contractor a quote. They've approved the quote. Do you guys then manufacture and install?
Yes, we've got a turnkey solution. We manufacture and install across the country. And a lot of the manufacturers have got similar designs. It's always nice to know that the products you buy, you've got a straight line of responsibility, and a lot of the manufacturers has got the same, and they offer the same sort of thing.
When people refer to UPVC as new, it may be relatively new in South Africa. It's certainly not new globally, but you have some installations. They might not have been TEVA installations, but there are examples of UPVC windows. I think go back 20 years in Joburg.
Yeah, TEVA's been going for 10 years, so we've got a 10-year
track. So you're nearly there.
We're almost there. And on those examples, we've got two beautiful ones that we do degradation tests on. And it comes back to the quality, the standards. And it's with all the window materials, whether it's wood, whether it's aluminium, whether it's UPVC. There are certain South African standards. And if the products comply and it conforms to that, it will last. We've got examples that's been standing in Johannesburg, in the Highveld, and in Cape Town, even Clifton, facing west. That's been standing for 25, 30 years, and it's perfect because it's the right quality stuff.
When it comes to finishes, some of the visions that one might have is UPVC is normally white. It can come in various finishes.
Absolutely. We used to be very much like Ford, and any color you want as long as it was white. And about 5 years ago, we managed to change that. So we've got technologies. Coatings that go on it, similar to powder coatings and foils. So there's various finishes available now.
We're going to chat to Kevin from PG, and we're going to be talking to him about glazing. And one of the things we're going to focus on is double glazing and the perception that double glazing is going to break the budget. We're going to go through that a bit later. UPVC windows, can you get it single glazed and double glazed?
Absolutely. It's like any other window material, single glaze, double glaze, depending on what you require. And it goes back to the first mention on the regulations and on insulation. If you do not have that much window material, you don't necessarily need to go for double glazing. If it's in the budget, absolutely. Double glazing is beautiful. It's fantastic. It is best practice globally everywhere you go. So we're going that direction. But budget does play a part. And sometimes double glazing isn't the answer for what you need.
Peter, it's always good chatting to you. Hang around in the studio. I'm going to talk to the other guys, but we might still ask you some questions.
Build-Aid on Mix 93.8.
Build-Aid on Mix 93.8. Chatting about windows and how important it is when you're planning your home to understand not only can you look out the window, what is it made of? What are its insulating qualities and so on? And we're chatting tonight about UPVC. We've already spoken to Peter, and we're now going to chat about aluminium and wood. And I have Mark Cross and Samantha Cross in the studio from Swartland, One of them is going to chat about wood and the other is going to chat about aluminium because the company supplies both types of window. But we're going to start with Mark, and Mark's going to cover wood. Where I want to start, Mark, and I think it's pertinent to what we're talking about, is historically, we've always looked at wooden windows as something that you could buy off a shelf or out of a catalogue, etc. But you guys are now selling a complete unit. It's glazed, it's sealed, and so on. Tell us a little bit about this, because it's relatively new, is it?
Graham, yes, thanks. Yes, we've got a pre-sealed and glazed product that we call Ready to Fit. As the name says, it's ready to fit. It's glazed, it's sealed in factory, and this is a very nice option for the homeowner to basically get around a few of the issues that you generally have with a sort of a raw product, a raw timber product, when you buy it and you want to install it. So that's something which we've got. It is pre-sealed and glazed, as I said. So yeah, that's an option for the homeowner.
Something about wooden windows that's it's probably taken a little bit of heat is, sorry, excuse the pun, is it didn't seal properly. Historically, a wooden window didn't. Now, obviously, you've overcome that problem with this product.
Yeah, look, we had to obviously comply with the regulations when they came in. 10400XA was a sort of a big sort of game changer for Swartland. We had to sort of get all of our tooling and everything correct and change everything to be more energy efficient. Obviously, to have windows sealed correctly, you've got to have a proper composite gasket and a seal. To make the window close, make sure you haven't got any air leakage or anything like that happening on the window. That's what we do. We've got a very, very energy efficient product, and it complies with all the regulations.
Samantha, thanks for coming to chat to us.
Thank you, Graham.
And your speciality, or you're a specialist at, is aluminium. Now, aluminium traditionally has always sealed quite well. You've always had seals on and so on. So it's good to hear that you can now buy timber window frames that have those same qualities. When it comes to standard windows, Samantha, do you guys make standard windows that I could look at in a catalogue?
Yes, our range of aluminium windows at Swartland is called Kenzo. And you'll find them in most of our merchants in South Africa, across South Africa. And you can buy them off the shelf. And we have Mark, who is our actual in-house architect, that can help the homeowner design his own house using standard windows, which inevitably ends up being cheaper due to the manufacturing processes and so forth.
Contemporary architecture has a lot of glass in it, and I sometimes refer to them as fish tanks, which I shouldn't do, particularly when Kevin from PG is here, because these guys sell glass, okay? But using that much glass generally means that they are specialized or custom-made window frames. So, Mark, back to wood, we know that timber windows, wooden windows, you guys do make standard windows. Can you handle custom design as well?
Graham, yes, we can. When it comes to our timber range, specifically our Cape Culture range, we do most certainly allow for custom made product. Generally, when you're talking sort of contemporary architecture, that sort of entails a lot of curtain walls and that type of thing. We can do, to a certain extent, we can do use to utilize timber, but timber, obviously being the material that it is, we are sort of restricted to the sizes that we can go. But from a custom point of view, there is definitely some scope for that.
When it comes to style, I think of game lodges. Some years ago, we were involved in a lot of game lodges, and if you didn't put a timber window in, you would be fired. Game lodges aren't as popular as they used to be, and they've moved away from those traditions. But do you find that people come to you with a certain style, maybe a Cape Dutch or something, that they go, timber has to be the right way to go?
Look, you do definitely have your sort of more classical sort of architecture, your kind of Victorian, Georgian styles. Those are obviously very, very suited towards timber. We also got a lot of people doing sort of these more sort of contemporary sort of farmhouse styles too, that are also going for your timber style window. So your timber type window, so your sliding sash and your more sort of classical style windows, they are very suited for that kind of architecture as well.
When we come back, Mark and Samantha, I want to chat to you about quality and how one understands the difference between a good window and a bad window.
Build Aid on Mix 93.8.
Build Aid on Mix, brought to you by AfriSam. My name's Graham Alexander. We're chatting about windows. Mark Cross and Samantha Cross from Swartland, and we're chatting about wooden windows and aluminium windows. As Peter explained earlier, conductance through a window frame, how the heat transfers through a window frame. Wood and aluminium probably have very different properties in that regard. And my guess is wood would probably be better, Mark, than aluminium.
Well, better in conductance.
Yeah, or a better insulator.
I don't think so. generally, timber probably would be one of the better ones. Aluminium being sort of metal, aluminium, like you guys discussed a little bit earlier, when you've sort of put a rod of aluminium or a rod of steel in the fire, if you grab that and you put a piece of wood in the fire, which one is going to be the hotter one? That's obviously going to be the metal one. So aluminium is obviously not as good a conductor. It is a much better conductor than wood. So wood would obviously be your first choice from an insulation point of view.
Samantha, you guys have a solution, the aluminium window business, in putting what's called a thermal break into a frame so that it doesn't conduct like a piece of metal over a fire.
Yes. What happens is, with the aluminium, obviously the aluminium section on the window itself conducts quite seriously. So a lot of manufacturers have now come up with what you call a thermal break. And it's basically a little piece of plastic that breaks the conduction through the aluminium profile itself.
So in simple terms, it's like two frames.
Yes.
Joined with a piece of rubber.
But that, I must admit, is in conjunction with the right glass. We talking about the outer frame, but in conjunction with the right glass, you can gain a very low energy efficiency ratio with using those products.
Yeah, one has to look at it as a system, and Kevin's going to join us in a while to chat more about the glazing part of it, particularly with conductance and double glazing. When it comes to, we talked about wooden windows and your newer range now that seals, part of the energy talk and saving energy is also about not allowing air to flow through gaps and so on. I think aluminium, it goes without saying, is always sealed quite well. And now with a timber product, you're doing exactly the same.
I just want to mention that even the gasket themselves, over the last number of years, have just improved and improved and improved. Before, you had a gasket that you would pull and it would stay there and stretch, or in weather reduce and not go back to where it was, so you'd have gaps in those windows and they wouldn't last as long. The gaskets now have what they call a memory in them, and those gaskets stay. So even in a cold or heated environment, they stay in the same form as when you put them in the window.
When it comes to quality, I mean, I think it goes without saying that your company produces quality products. But as a consumer, I get a price on a window. I have a picture of a window. It may come off of my plans, or the architect produces it. And someone says that window is 900 Rand, and then someone pops up and says, no, I've got one for 400 Rand. There's probably a good reason for that. When it comes to wooden windows, Mark, how would a consumer check quality? What do you look for?
Graham, I think what you've got to take into consideration is look at the name of the company, the brand. Obviously, the price, like you were saying, is important. If you're looking at a 900 Rand window versus a 600 Rand window, you obviously the 600 Rand window, generally the quality perhaps is not the same. The timber section size that you've got to look at. If you're looking at a nice thick timber section, that's possibly going to be a little bit more expensive than a slightly thinner timber section. But I think when you're looking at a thicker section, quality-wise, you know, you're definitely going to have more longevity on the product.
Price is always a good guide. Now, you don't want to pay too much for something, but shop around, particularly when you're talking about windows in your new home. It's a big part of the budget. Talk to guys like Swartland, to guys like Tiva. Check it out. And be careful of that low price, because there's a reason there's a low price. We chat about this often on this radio show and at the workshops that we do, that the price wasn't worked out correctly in the beginning. Generally, on most projects. And as it goes on and progresses, you find out that that budget was the wrong one and the builder underquoted. And then homeowners and contractors or consumers start making wrong decisions and knowingly buy bad quality because there's no option. They've run out of money. So planning, what we're talking about, and the homeowner workshops that, that Kay was talking about that is promoted by Mix FM, we go through this, that homeowners and architects spend some time, get the budget right, use the right stuff.
Build Aid on Mix 93.8.
We're chatting about windows, and at the moment we're talking about wooden windows and aluminium windows. And I'm talking to Mark and Samantha from Swartland. Talking quality, we understand with wood you can look at the section, you can check it by price. I'm sure you can check the density of the wood, if it's a bit soft and so on. With aluminium, it may be a little bit more difficult, or do the same rules apply?
It is a little bit more difficult, I must admit, because from the first look at the aluminium, they look the same. What the homeowner must keep in mind is the thickness of the actual product. A lot of them go very paper thin, and they become actually useless as a feature in the house. So you must look and try and stay with a 3 to 4 mil thick product. And then there's another thing that you've got to think about is the actual aluminium itself, how much tin's involved and how it's tempered and a whole lot of things. So a product that's SABS approved and it's got all the SAN 613 that we spoke about earlier and it complies, I think that's what the owner needs to look at.
Sam, I think branding and guarantee is also something to look at as well. You know, every consumer wants to know that they've got some kind of a backup.
Yeah. Like Swartland, you know, you go to the website, Swartland's been around for years. It's a household name. Yeah. Certainly a construction industry. That must be a guide.
Absolutely. You know, yeah. Swartland's not going anywhere. So, you know, that's something to look for.
Yeah. Mark, thanks for chatting to us. Samantha, stay with us. Kevin's going to join us. And we're going to talk about glass in relationship to windows and just about glass.
Build Aid on Mix 93.8.
Kevin Swartz with us from PG, another household industry name. If you hadn't heard of PG, we weren't paying attention. Kevin, thanks for coming to chat to us.
Good evening, Graham. Thanks for having me.
You guys are, amongst other things, in the glass business, the stuff that we see through. Before we get into performance glass or what glass can do, etc., let's just understand, Kevin, if we can, what different kinds of glass are there? I mean, where does it start out?
Graham, well, it starts out with a grain of sand, and where we melt it at very high temperatures, making the float glass, which is then turned into various different types. So your float glass is your basic glass that we all know that historically has gone into windows to allow lighting and block out the elements. That glass can then be turned into different types of safety and security glass, those being toughened glass, laminating glass, and what's been mentioned a lot tonight is the advent of double glazing in South Africa, which has not been very well known over the years like it is in the Northern Hemisphere.
When it comes to a toughened glass, what is the difference between a toughened glass and just normal float glass?
Toughened glass is basically heated up to a temperature around about 700 degrees Celsius and then rapidly cool down, creating tension and within the glass and with compensating tension, which then, if it breaks, when it does break, breaks up into relatively small harmless pieces, similar to what happens in the side windows of your car when it breaks. So it's a fail-safe product.
So it is a safety type of glass because it's not going to hurt you. Laminate glass, how is that made, Kevin?
That is two pieces of float glass that comes off the float line. It's bonded together with what we call a PVB, also a type of plastic interlayer that keeps the two together. And when it does break, it keeps intact, held together, those two pieces of glass held together by the PVB interlayer. The easiest way to describe it is the same way as your windscreen in your car, which is a laminated safety glass.
When we come back after the break, Kevin, I'm going to ask you to explain double glazing in a little bit more detail. But before we go away, Samantha, aluminium windows, wooden windows, and we know UPVC can do it, can they all accommodate double glazing?
Yes, definitely. You get in wood, definitely, they can go up to about a 22 mil, 24 mil. But in aluminium, you get sections up to a 60 mil that can accommodate right up until a 28 mil double glazed profile.
So it's a misconception that you need some kind of special framing for double glazing. You can use any of the frames we're talking about tonight. But when we come back, we'll get into that in a little bit more detail.
Build-Aid on Mix 93.8.
Build-Aid on Mix. I'm chatting to Kevin Swart from PG. Samantha is still with us in case we need some specialist information. Kevin, the concept of double glazing, I think, has been misconceived, particularly over the last few years, as being expensive, out of reach, and so on. It's a lot more readily available. Tell us about your double glazing product and system.
Graham, it has certainly become more readily available in the market with the advent of the legislation where windows over 25% window to floor ratio requires double glazing. And with that becomes the manufacturing cost reduction by just by the pure numbers. So it's become a lot more accessible and easier to fit in the budgets. And for the performance that you get out of the double glazing, it's certainly worthwhile evaluating when you are building a home. From a PG perspective, we've come up with a range of products called Smart Glass X2, where we have narrowed it down to a choice of four products. It can be a minefield, and it does get quite technical. So we've come up with four solutions to offer the market that can be readily available with high-performance coatings that are going to do both the solar heat gain part of the energy legislation as well as the insulation. It's easy to choose because you can get into hundreds of different products and not know what to choose.
And looking at those products or understanding them better, can we go to your website and have a look at it?
Most certainly. Again, we've made it simple, so you can go to the website. And for those that are not too interested in all the performance values, it's a matter of tick boxes where one, two, or three ticks is good, better, best. So easy to choose. The clarity of the glass is also very important because people want the aesthetic clear look. All very high light transmission products, but keeping out the nasty sun in the summer and insulating in the winter cold months.
Just to understand the concept better, is we talked about conductance or heat going up of a steel rod if you hold it over a fire. The same thing's happening with the glass. With double glazing, you've now got an air gap between the two pieces of glass that stops that conductance.
That's correct. So glass is also quite a good conductor. And that's why when you're standing next to the windows in winter, you feel that cold breeze. So what the double glazing does is separate the transfer of the heat or the cold through the piece of glass from one to the other pane. And that's what, with the dehydrated airspace in between, that's what helps insulate.
Kevin, you also have some performance glass that's not double glazed. It's a normal sheet of glass.
Yes, that's our Smart Glass X1 range, which is a low emissivity coating, which is deposited onto one of the two glasses in our laminator glass together with our splatter coatings, which then is, call it middle of the range, product range. So it does provide insulation and does help you comply with legislation. So for those that cannot or do not want to double glaze, we have another solution.
If you haven't heard everything this evening about windows and the different types of windows and glazing, there's a Build-Aid workshop in conjunction with Mix FM coming up. Thank you to my guests, Peter from Tiva, Mark and Samantha from Swartland, and Kevin Swart from PG. And tonight, a real special thank you to the Mix population. 9 trucks have left here full of stuff for Knysna, and apparently there are another 2 trucks on the way.
Build-Aid on Mix 93.8.